everyone. My name is Alden Freeze. I'm currently a junior CIS major. I'm here with Joe Gianella, and we're here to talk about how when engineering and IT come together, it could transform our world.
Yeah, sure. So I just want to introduce myself a little bit. As Alden said, my name is Joe Gianella. I'm a senior civil engineering student here at King's. And I guess, yeah, this is sort of a like an interesting topic I think we should talk about because of like, you know, I think there's a big need for civil engineering in like our society today and for, you know, in the case of IoT, you know, being able to make jobs more efficient, more safe, like especially for the job of civil engineer could really, really benefit like the field and, you know, having, like I said, having IoT would just be a big, big help to the field.
Yeah, exactly. Just to reach forward on that, being an information systems student, I also realized that we work in a lot of the IoT area, so where we work with a lot of things like sensors and making sure like data is secure and stuff like that. So just to tell you everyone what the IoT stands for, it's the Internet of Things. It describes a network of physical objects that are embedded with sensors, software, and other technologies for the purpose of connecting and exchanging data and other devices and systems over the internet. These devices can range from ordinary household objects to sophisticated industrial tools. With more than 7 billion connected to IoT devices in 2020, experts are expected this number to grow to 22 billion by 2025.
That's nuts.
Yeah, that is kind
of. So is that 22 billion actual like physical object sensors that are just dispersed, you know,
throughout the world?
Throughout the world
for the purpose of gaining data,
you know, as like a new component of IoT, like it's like another, you know.
Yeah, so for an example, like anything from a sensor in a building that can sense if a building is swaying in the wind.
Okay, yeah, you know what definitely. I mean? That's something totally like that, relates to the civil example. Yeah, a lot of that. Yep.
What else can we kind of bring up an example? Just
Well, not even related to the field. Like, I don't know. There's data that's like, you know, sent and received all over the place. You know, think about like Wall Street and the stock markets and stuff.
Oh,
they all have to be on the same page, you know. So I feel like it extends so much further than, obviously we're going to be talking about how it relates to the civil engineering field, but it definitely extends out further than that. It's just
The Internet of Things is almost in every single aspect of our lives. I mean, right. If you wake up, you're most likely, well, maybe some people wake up by themselves, but you're most likely waking up to a alarm clock. And
that
alarm clock is sensing what time it is through the phone and whenever you wake up.
I feel like it all kind of like
starts ringing, you know?
Has to draw from like one big database or one you know, central clock that like disperses out the signal. That's actually crazy.
Even like kitchen appliances and cars or things like that where electric cars, it's all received. Even if you think what like Elon Musk is doing with Tesla, I mean, they're having the car self-drive. I mean, the amount of sensors and embedded cameras you would need on that is kind of insane to process it in real time. I mean, that's life or death, you know?
So I guess, I don't know, at this point we could probably start to relate it to, you know, the current field of civil engineering. Feel free to, like, pick my brain about, you know, anything you're interested in. I mean, I'm only, you know, like I said, I'm a senior. I'm only a student at the moment, but I do like, you know, have gained interest over the past, you know, 3, you know, years that I've been studying civil engineering and how the field is going to advance and develop and what new technologies, you know, like from your perspective, say like computer information systems, how that's really going to like impact the field. So.
Yeah, Joe, so I've been your friend for a while, so I also know you've done some internships that are quite interesting,
mm-hmm.
I would say. So tell me about an internship where you had to deal with something that had to deal with IoT.
So, yeah, I guess kind of to start off, like Alden was saying, I did work an internship, not this past summer, but 2 summers ago. It was with a project management, the role that I had was sort of shadowing and being an intern project manager, sort of following around the assistant project managers and senior project managers of a large construction group that showed me the ropes of everything from scheduling and how, you know, the different order of tasks within a construction project should be carried out to actually being on site, getting like real hands-on experience with, you know, anything that really goes on in construction field, whether it be, you know, learning different pieces of machinery or talking to different contractors and what sort of the expectation for work was. So it was a good, it was a good internship in the sense that it was wide scoping, and I feel like I learned a lot about the real world applications, I guess you could say, of civil engineering that you might not learn about in school. Because school is like, you see me doing all the math problems, like school is like super technical, and you're learning a lot of like principles and softwares and stuff, but getting like the real like world experience in the internship was good to have. That was just a little bit about the internship itself. But so as far as like different tasks that I've done or things that I've worked on within the internship that can relate to IoT, one that kind of sticks out in my head, I guess I could start by talking about the ability for all the different entities or all the different people working on a project being able to kind of work together on like a shared document, say like design plans. Being able to collaborate in real time on different ideas, or when you're building a building, you have a whole bunch of different contractors that are each there to do a specific task. So you have one company, say, that does the foundation, does the concrete, and you have another that is all about the structural components of the building and maybe filling in the facade and upholstering walls and plywood that goes, say, on the outside of a building. And there's maybe somebody else that does roofing. And if people, we did like hold meetings and stuff every week just to, I guess, keep expectations up and meet deadlines and be sure to get things done. But being able to work on a document or a set of designs or, you know, sharing collaborate ideas outside of the field was like a huge benefit as far as like efficiency goes and like meeting deadlines goes, because you don't like waste that in between, like, oh, you know, when are we all available? Like, that's such a hard question because, you know, everybody's on different schedules and different times, and usually they dedicate that one meeting at, you know, 10 o'clock. Like for instance, for the one project that I was really, I guess you could say, manning for the summer, we had a meeting every Monday at 10 a.m. and it was like, you know, an hour long, and that was everybody's like secure time to be there for the week. But outside of that, you know, it's tough to make 10 phone calls and try to collaborate either through email or, like I said, on the phone, like to make everything kind of like, it's got gassy, make everything like work out in that sense. So,
yeah. And even just to add on that, I mean, if you look back even like 3 years ago, we were all in COVID times, and I know that, especially for all the college kids, I mean, a lot of them graduated who were here, but us last guys know that those classes, almost every single class was Zoom. And if you were working, if you weren't working, they didn't give you off for during the COVID break, you were via Zoom. Mm-hmm. So that kind of just goes to show like how far reaching the IT department kind of goes, because that basically just goes right back to the IT department when it involves like network communications and talking to people across the globe, honestly.
Yeah, and I can definitely say, you know, everybody knows there was a good, you know, one point during COVID where nobody was working and it was on complete lockdown. But when we started to phase out of that, and, you know, from my point of view, I guess from a civil engineering point of view, you know, people could start working on new construction and buildings and, you know, making bridges and highways or what have you. When we started to phase out of COVID, the Internet of Things, I think, from what I understand, is a huge benefit in not only being able to communicate, you know, across different paths, but being able to do it collaboratively all together, you know, in real time. But I guess another thing I could think of is as far as how Internet of Things, and I know you mentioned sensors earlier as like in the definition. One of the bigger sort of aspects, or one of the more widely used components of to give and receive data in Internet of Things, is we're learning in class that like nowadays buildings will, so say you have like a you know concrete foundation for a building, and it's being laid on a somewhat, I guess you could say, not faulty, but like an unstable environment. Say, you know, like Washington, D.C., for instance, is a great example, because a lot of that surrounding area is very swampy, it's very marshy. And in order to hold like big structures, you need to have a strong foundation with strong footing in the ground to ensure that, you know, nothing's going to go anywhere, and it complies with industry standard factors of safety, you know, to ensure that the project that you're building is going to be up to standard, you know, up to expectations. For its intended use. So going on, you know, more on that, concrete's actually can be casted with, you know, different sensors or relays or things embedded actually in the concrete that can transmit a signal to, say, I don't know, some receiver, you know, however close or far away in, you know, it might be a little bit different in like New York City, say, than, you know, Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, where you have so many different buildings and things to monitor. But you can cast concrete and with sensors or relays or something embedded in them that can transmit a signal to a larger, I guess, database, if you will, that allows people monitoring the buildings. Because one of the biggest things I think that's overlooked in construction is, you know, you build the building and then, okay, everything's okay. You know, like the building's brand new, it's, you know, serving its intended purpose, and quote unquote, we don't have to watch on it, right? You know, like you think it's, nothing's going to happen. It's all structurally sound when you build it. But after, you know, constantly applying loads and you know, the building's going to settle depending on the ground that it's built on, and it's going to deteriorate in different ways due to external, internal factors, what have you, like the weather, or, you know, how hot or cold it is, that's, you know, something important. So sensors give the ability to just kind of monitor all those things and like I said, ensure that what you intended the building to be used for is actually what's going on with the building, and or, you know, or structure or bridge or whatever, you know, you have the sensors in that's sending the data. So,
all right, so...
Yeah, the next thing I kind of want to talk about, like the two really most important things in my eyes, kind of are like the efficiency and the modeling. Would you kind of like to go into more detail with that?
So it's just kind of like how, are you asking sort of like how modeling can improve efficiency in that sense, like get into that kind of?
Yeah, I mean, like we can also go on a rant on kind of like how efficiency helps, because realistically, I think that is the most important thing, because if you really look around, the amount of sensors and all the things that IoT does kind of creates almost every single job, makes it more efficient in some kind of aspect or way.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. So I guess from a modeling perspective, you're sort of able to like create environments and test out different features of different buildings based on elements that are kind of drawn in from you know, external databases or outside resources that you can actually input into the model and sort of test out for certain things, right? But as far as like efficiency goes in translating that into the field,
what the heck is going on?
Measures to maybe take a proactive approach to solving a problem and preventing it before it even happens, versus, you know, being reactionary in the sense that you're just sort of doing damage control on things that, you know, failures that occur or, you know, hazardous conditions that might affect the ability for the building or structure to operate in the way that it's supposed to.
Right.
So as you mentioned, like, you know, sensors are a big aspect in, you know, being able to relay real time data or fluctuations in how the building's operating or how the structure that you built is operating under certain conditions, and you know, translating it back even a step in the, you know, prior steps in sort of like the whole design process.
Mm-hmm.
You're able to not only like place those sensors within the building in a way that's going to get good readings and get the type of readings that you want, you know, sort of pertaining to different things that you're testing for or measuring to ensure that the building's operating safely, But you're also kind of able to use different aspects of you know, the data collected. Lost my train of thought. Cut that out.
Okay.
You can sort of account for those things as you're going within the design process, if that kind of makes sense, and like just being able to like proactively and thus sort of efficiently maintain the building before it's even like constructed, if that mm-hmm. kind of makes sense, like, you know, using sensors and getting messages and data from there.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of why I feel like it's important to have both an engineering side and a IT side, and that's why when they combine, they can really
collaborate
in real time and improve a lot of things in our daily lives.
You know, I think that's like also plays on the fact that, you know, whatever you're building has to be safe for whoever's using it, whatever its intended use is, right? You know, that's
mm-hmm.
the utmost, you know, importance of designing things and being a civil engineer is not exactly. only providing something that's going to serve a purpose mm-hmm. and, you know, better the lives of whoever's, you know, being impacted by it and using it, but you don't want anybody to get hurt while you're doing it, right?
Yeah, like
a ton of resources now between, you know, modeling that we talked about and mm-hmm. being able to account for things proactively versus, you know, a reactionary way. And, you know, other tools that when combined with IoT, the Internet of Things allows you to sort of, I don't know, just like take it a step further with like being efficient and, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Making things run very smoothly.
Yeah, exactly.
Over millions and millions of data points taken
mm-hmm.
and combined to make them most smoothest way possible.
And I guess like going off with like the whole software thing too, like I said, you can, you know, place different data sensors in different ways and track mm-hmm. different things and just draw on points that way. And I feel like without IoT and being able to like get that feedback of, you know, say like you want to put thing, you know, place certain sensors or devices in the foundation of a building to get certain readings about different places, but
yeah.
if you're not getting that like real-time data like coming back and forth, you might not be able to get like as accurate a reading
mm-hmm.
or, you know, make the same mistake of putting it in the wrong place for the next building that you use or, you know, next use that it's intended for. So I feel like you can definitely use that data to also like build on what's already you know, been figured out mm-hmm. or
exactly.
techniques that have been kind of like
mm-hmm.
industry, you know, standard and, you know, just like make situations and conditions better for future use and other people that are entering the field.
Yeah, no, exactly.
I mean, sustainability was important too. It's always important for engineers to like
mm-hmm.
construct things and design things in a way that are going to be sustainable for the future. And
so things aren't always breaking.
Yeah, well, that yeah. and, like, also, you know, from an environmental perspective, mm-hmm. like, say, you know, here's another way how it could relate to Internet of Things is I don't know if you know this, but concrete, like, actually creating concrete, the process of, like, creating the mix
mm-hmm.
is among or the highest cause of CO2 emissions in the whole planet. A lot of people don't know that.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, a lot of people think it's, like, emissions from cars and machines and stuff. Uh-huh. It actually comes from like huge concrete plants, just, you know,
mixing it all up.
Yeah, because what they have to do is they basically burn the stone and burn everything in like a giant kiln process
mm-hmm.
and sets everything through like a giant like kiln process and essentially gives you the aggregate that's necessary for building the concrete. You add different components depending on its intended use, mix it with water, and that whole process releases like a whole bunch of CO2. So if you're able to then track sort of which types of concrete for intended uses are, you know, creating these greenhouse gases, which sort of translates into not being sustainable for the environment,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, the everything is sort of impacting its nearby environment when it's being built,
mm-hmm.
you can, again, you know, use that data and use those instances for, like, as a future reference point for, you know, putting that type of process back into application again.
Gotcha. Yeah, I did not know that. Well, is there anything else that you would like to say out there?
I just think, like, to wrap up, like, as a civil engineering student, it's definitely, you know, benefiting the field in the long run, but I, you know,
I'm excited to see sort of how the collaboration between civil engineering field and Internet of Things, you know, just make society for better for everybody and more hospitable for, you know, daily life and make things easier in that way, more efficient.
Awesome, man. It was great talking to you.
All right. Appreciate it. Thanks for the time, Walden.
Yep. Thank you. And thank you guys for listening. I hope you all have a good night. Podcast coming out in the next coming weeks. Thank you guys for listening and have a great rest of your day.